Our text for this morning is going to be taken from Hebrews chapter 12, the end of chapter 12. As a congregation, we began our series in Hebrews last week, looking at the benefits and blessings we have as God's people, those who worship as members of the new covenant, under the mediator of the new covenant, specifically Jesus Christ. And Christ's blood speaks a better word to us, that we are not to tremble in the sense of running away or being fearful from the word of the Lord, but rather we are to approach as children, because a new and living way has been opened for us. We now are brought into the heavenly Jerusalem, that Mount Zion above, standing in God's presence as we worship our Lord, caught up to heaven by His Spirit. We continue then by looking at Hebrews 12, starting at verse 25, but we're going to jump back to verse 22 to start a reading. But the text begins in verse 25 and goes to the end of the chapter. So Hebrews 12, starting at verse 22, but our text starts at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And that's as far as we're reading together this morning. May God add His blessing and increase upon the preaching of His word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how are we called to worship? What attitude should we have as we approach our Lord? Last week we saw the many benefits and blessings that we have as members of the new covenant, that we have a direct access to our God through Jesus Christ. We can stand in His presence, and our prayers and our petitions are pleasing and acceptable to Him. This week we move on to consider the messenger of the covenant. Last week was the mediator of the covenant that opened the way. This week, the messenger of the covenant who speaks from the covenantal God. A few weeks back, as we considered the prophet Malachi, we noted that he there was a 400-year famine from God's word. But even in Malachi, we are told that a messenger would be sent, a messenger of the covenant that would be sent to God's people. Who is this messenger? Well, this messenger is our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 says, in the times past, in various ways, in various manners, God has spoken to us. In the times past, God spoke by dreams and theophanies and visions and even at the top of Mount Zion. But in the past days, God speaks to us by way of His Son. Even as the Father said in Luke 9, this is my Son, listen to Him. So today we consider the messenger of the new covenant, and we look at this theme, that Jesus Christ instructs His people concerning acceptable worship. I'll say that one more time. Jesus Christ instructs His people concerning acceptable worship. And since you probably don't have a bulletin in front of you, I'm going to list the 3 points. The first point is we are called to listen to Him. The second point is that we are called to respond with gratitude. And in our third point, we are to worship with reverence. So, number 1, listen to Him. Number 2, respond with gratitude. And number 3, worship with reverence. So then in our first point, we're going to consider how we are called to listen, instructed to listen to the messenger of the covenant, to submit to his word. Our text begins in verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. See to it that you do not refuse the one who speaks to you from God. Pay careful attention to the word that he utters. Now, who then is this one that speaks to us? Who is this one who speaks to the church today? Well, if you back up one verse, you will find that at the end of verse 24, you have Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, whose blood speaks a word to us. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Added to this fact, in verse 26, we find that the voice of this mediator was the voice that shook the earth. But now the voice is heard from heaven. We know that Jesus is right now sitting at the right hand of his Father in glory. He is physically seated, sitting there in glory, speaking the word of God to us. From there, from heaven, from the right hand of his Father, Jesus continues to be, to function as the perfect and final prophet, even warning us and instructing us, as verse 25 says. Jesus Christ came, as John 1 says, to be the Word of God, the Word made flesh. Earlier we read from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 18. Moses spoke of a time that there was going to be a greater, a better prophet who would be raised up from among the people. And God says, I will give you another prophet, one who is greater than Moses, and you must listen to him. So Jesus Christ is this greater, this perfect, this final prophet, whose voice once shook that Mount Zion and now proceeds to be brought to us, who comes to us from the heavenly Jerusalem. The same one who spoke the word in the past now speaks to us today. He has, Matthew 28 says, all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the one that must be listened to. Hebrews 2 verse 1 puts it this way, you must pay much closer attention to what you have heard, lest you drift away. Now note that here, when the writer of Hebrews said that you must not refuse him, and he follows by saying there is a warning so that you are conscious of the grave sin that it would be and the grave consequences that would be fallen upon you if you do refuse to listen. In our reading from last week from Exodus chapter 19, the message was very clear, wasn't it? The message that God spoke and repeated at least three times was, do not go up the mountain. Do not transgress the barrier. Don't try to force your way into God's presence, or you will be consumed. And as the Israelites were given the law of the Lord, and the Lord says, if you take these words upon your heart, if you live in accordance with these words, you will be blessed. But if you transgress, if you rebel, if you grumble and complain, if you do not listen, if you do not humble your heart, then you will be cursed. Well, what happened with that generation? Well, you know that as the Israelites left Mount Sinai, they traveled throughout the wilderness. And as they traveled through the wilderness on the way to the promised land, they grumbled and they complained. And when they were brought to the edge of the promised land, they said, let's go back to Egypt, is better there. The people living in Canaan are too strong, too big, it's too scary. We should have gone back to Egypt. At least we had plenty of food there. So what happened to that generation? That generation that did not listen to the voice of God, that proceeded from God's presence on the top of Mount Sinai. They did not listen. They did not repent. They did not humble themselves. And therefore, that whole generation died in the wilderness. We must learn from the disobedience and take warning from the consequence. If that generation rejected the word of the Lord and they fell, they died in the wilderness as God had said, we must be warned, think carefully, and consider the consequence. But here the writer of Hebrews is arguing from the lesser to greater. If the word spoken at Sinai, the writer of Hebrews here says, should have been listened, should have been submitted to, how much more the word that is now proceeding from heaven itself? If the word at Mount Sinai should have been acknowledged as the truth, embraced by faith, how much more the word that now proceeds from the heavenly Zion? The word is clear. If you want to flee from the coming wrath, if you want to escape judgment and have life and blessings, then you must submit yourself to God's word, embrace it with a heart of faith, repent when it exposes your sin, and follow after His word. The Old Testament Israelites grumbled, rebelled, and died. We as the New Testament saints must not go that way. So therefore, do not refuse Him who speaks. Do not harden your heart. Do not stop your ears. Do not think that in your own pride, in your own wisdom, that you have the answers. Because He is the messenger of the new covenant and He speaks from heaven itself. The application should be very clear. When God's word speaks on an issue, when Jesus Christ, the messenger of the covenant, speaks to His church, the church listens, the church heeds, the church submits, the church obeys. When the good shepherd speaks, his sheep follow, his sheep come. So it should be abundantly clear to us over the next few weeks as we look at various aspects of Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to hear Jesus Christ instructing us concerning marriage and family issues. Jesus is going to be instructing us concerning our finances and our personal possessions. He's going to be speaking about the leadership of the church. When Jesus Christ speaks as the messenger of the new covenant, see to it that you do not refuse the voice of Him who speaks. Rather, listen, respond with faith, repent, humble your hearts, and heed the voice of this divine messenger. So the first thing that we are called to do when we gather together to worship, as I said before, the context here is speaking about what takes place when we worship. The first thing that we are called to do as a church is to submit ourselves to the Word of God. When Jesus speaks to us, see to it that you don't harden your heart, that you don't refuse, but you humble, that you obey. In our second point, then, we find that we are called to not only humble ourselves and obey, but to respond with gratitude and thanksgiving. In verse 28, we continue, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. Our second point is that we are called to be thankful, to be grateful, to be filled with praise as we worship our Lord. But what is it that moves us to praise? Why should we be thankful? What have we received that should move us to offering ourselves as a living sacrifice of praise? Well, verse 28 continues, we should be thankful because we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, we have to put this in the context of the immediately preceding verses, where we talk about in verse 26 and verse 27 about the shaking of kingdoms and the shaking of this world. Verse 28 says, we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The context is there was a time when a kingdom was shaken. Back last week, as we looked at Exodus 19, you will find that when the Lord revealed Himself as He came down on Mount Sinai, what happened to the mountain? The mountain shook. His voice thundered and the ground quaked. But a time is coming, Jesus here saying, when you will have a kingdom, when you will receive something that cannot be shaken. He said, once more, this is in verse 26, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. So there is a twofold shaking that takes place. First of all, there was the shaking that took place when the Lord came down in Exodus 19. That was the first shaking of the heaven, of the earthly Mount Zion. And then the writer of Hebrews says, once more there is going to be a shaking not only of the earth, but a shaking of the heavens itself. This once more is built upon what we read a few months back from Haggai. That phrase, once more, the heavens and the earth will be shaken. It points to the fact that once more an event is going to take place that is going to dramatically change and alter so that what can be shaken will be removed. Verse 27 says, the temporary and passing will be removed. So what is this heavens and earth that is going to be shaken, that will be shaken, and when will that take place? Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1, verse 1. But when Jesus Christ comes back, this is Revelation 21, we find that the old heavens and the old earth are going to pass away. They're going to be shaken, our text says, so that a new heaven and a new earth might come forth. We could compare it to what happens when you put gold in a furnace. That which can be shaken, that which can be burned off, the dross, the impurities, is consumed, is burned away, and what is left is what is permanent, what is lasting, what is of true worth and value. When Jesus Christ comes back, His coming, and at the sound of His voice, as His voice goes forth, the heavens and the earth that you and I currently see with these eyes of flesh are going to be shaken. Shaken to such a point, burned up with a fire so that what is permanent might come forth. We sang this earlier from Psalm 102. The foundations of the earth and the heavens will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out and you will change them like a robe and they will pass away. That's what the hymn says it this way. The clouds will be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. So then what can be shaken? What are these elements that can be shaken, that will be shaken once more and then therefore be removed? Well, Mount Zion, that passage that we read last week from Matthew 19, from Deuteronomy 19, that, or Exodus 19, that is Mount Sinai, that can be shaken. And looking around us in our daily lives, what can be shaken? Well, our personal bank accounts, those can be shaken. Our physical homes, our cars, even these bodies of flesh. Everything that we see with our earthly eyes, these will all be shaken. They'll be shaken once more. But what cannot be shaken? Well, remember in our context, what cannot be shaken? Well, Mount Zion cannot be shaken. The heavenly Jerusalem cannot be shaken. The throne of God, the glory that Christ has reserved for His people, the crown of righteousness, those pure white robes of righteousness, that is what remains and that is what will not be shaken. So the reality, the truth, the substance of the matter is what will remain when Jesus Christ comes back. What is fallen, what is temporary, what is finite will be shaken, burned up, and removed. So that what is permanent and lasting might come forth and endure. Now, why is this so important? Why is the writer of Hebrews making this contrast between what can be shaken, the heavens and the earth that are in its current state, and what cannot be shaken, the new heavens and the new earth, the heavenly Zion, the new Jerusalem? Well, the contrast is here placed before us to move us to thanksgiving. Remember as I started in reading verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, when you become a child of God, you are given an inheritance, you are given possession of a lasting thing, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, rejoice and be glad. Your home is in a solid state. Your inheritance is sure. 1 Peter 1 verse 4. You have an inheritance that is imperishable, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. So when you look around us in this world, and particularly with this year, with all the changes and how everything seems to change on a weekly basis, and how fluid everything is, and how our plans seem to come to nothing, even we look at our own, our health, our houses, our cars, everything that we have, these will all be shaken. One day, everything that can be shaken will be removed. So that what is lasting and permanent will come forth. And your inheritance, what you have received, is not something you can now grasp with the hands of the flesh. Your solid, lasting kingdom is one that you have already entered into by faith, one in which you now stand by faith, one that is kept in heaven for you. So rejoice and be glad. You have something that lasts forever. As Psalm 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. You who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. What happens when Jesus Christ comes back? We could compare it to what happened to Jesus Christ when he was resurrected and glorified. Before the death of Jesus Christ, the body that he had could be shaken. But when he was raised on the third day and glorified and now ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father, the body that Jesus has cannot be shaken. That will apply to us in the flesh, but it will apply to the heavens and the earth as well. Well, now that we understand our call to gratitude and thanksgiving, and remember one of the aspects we found in verse 22 is that we are part of a festive throng. The angels are robed for a celebration. They are dressed for the wedding feast. So that when we come together to worship, we are partaking in a festive day of thanksgiving and praise. Our hearts should be filled with joy and thanksgiving as we worship our Lord together. But there's yet one more aspect to our worship. And that's found at the end of verse 28. Not only are we to be filled with joy, let us be thankful, verse 28 says, and so worship God, it continues, giving God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. So not only do we come to worship to listen to the Word, so we don't refuse the Word, we submit to the Word of God. Not only do we come to worship with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts, but finally, we come with reverence and awe. Acceptable worship. We have been given the ability to offer acceptable worship because Christ has opened a new and living way for us. The mediator of the covenant has opened the way, satisfied the requirements of the law, dying in our place, ransoming us, redeeming us as His people. We are now called to offer our lives as a living sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, but we're also to come with reverence and awe. It's an important reminder that there is a kind of worship that is not acceptable to God. We sometimes forget this fact. There is a kind of worship that is not, that God is not pleased with. Any worship that is proud, that is boastful, any worship that is me-centered, man-centered, presumptive, any worship that comes from a heart that is filled with contempt, anger, if someone were to come swaggering forward, trusting in their own ability, anything that does not come from a heart of faith, these things, these aspects, these worshipers, their worship is not acceptable to God. There are some kinds of worship that are not pleasing to God. When we look at the current context, the current day and age in which we live, and what is supposedly supposed to be worship, if there is any worship that is not coming forth, that is filled with spirit and truth, God is not pleased and He does not accept that worship. But there is a kind of worship that is true, that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Worship that proceeds from a heart of faith, that comes from a child that is humble. This worship is to have reverence. Our passage says, worshiping our God acceptably with reverence. Now, this word reverence in Greek, it's adios. It means respect, honor, regarding someone for their high position and authority. We could say we have deference. There's a bowing of the knee, but also awe. There is a godly fear, a discretion, a humble piety. When we recognize that, as verse 29 concludes, we are coming before a God who is still a consuming fire. The very same God that revealed Himself in Exodus 19 as that fire that shook the mountain and burned and consumed. When we recognize that is the God that we are coming to when we worship, we do not have any right in ourselves to come here. We dare not approach the throne of grace trusting in ourselves. We come with reverence and awe, humility, piety. We come before Him as children who are made children, adopted by grace, not by works, not merited. So we come to a loving Father who calls us, a loving Father who has given His Son to provide propitiation, satisfaction, to open a way. Yes, we come with the boldness of children approaching His throne of grace with confidence, but we also come with humility and awe because He is still a holy God. A holy God whom we can only approach because of what Jesus Christ has done. To conclude, in our theme, we found that Jesus Christ instructs His people concerning acceptable worship. So when we put these points together, the end of here of Hebrews 12, we find that acceptable worship, worship that pleases God, is when we approach God with a humble heart that is ready to listen. A humble heart that accepts the Word of God as it is. Not the words of men, the Word of God. With the authority of God, from the messenger of the covenant. We come with thanksgiving. We come with joy. Our hearts are glad. I was glad to hear the sound. I was glad to hear the invitation, come, let's go up to worship. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We come with thanksgiving. But we also come with reverence and awe. We don't push and shove our way forward. We don't think we have somehow earned the right to be here. We are not highly exalted in our own eyes. We come as humble children, ready to give God the glory that He deserves. So as we approach our Lord in worship, let these aspects always be before us. As we come together as God's people, come together with a heart that is ready to listen. Come together with a heart that recognizes that we have received such blessings, such privileges, that our hearts, we can't help but be joyful and thankful. And come before the Lord acknowledging His might, His power, His holiness. Where we come with reverence and awe. Because our God is a consuming fire. May our worship be pleasing in His sight. as we worship according to these principles given to us by Jesus Christ, the mediator, the messenger of the new covenant. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have as your people to approach you through Jesus Christ, who not only opens the way, but teaches us how to come. May we come not with pride. May we not come boasting in ourselves. May we not presume our own abilities. But may we come with humility, reverence and awe, but also joy and thanksgiving, ready to listen and learn. Because Jesus Christ has come and he has spoken, and his word continues to proceed from your right hand. We thank you for the messenger of the covenant. May we hear his word as it is and submit to it because it is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.